Now on to a trial that's been underway for 2.5 years now in The Hague in the Netherlands, the war crimes trial of Slobodan Milosevic, the former president of Serbia. The trial has been derailed numerous times for reasons ranging from complications with his health to his insistence on defending himself in court. Last week, the International Court appointed him a lawyer. This week began with the testimony of the first witness. Judith Armada is the liaison to The Hague for the Coalition for International Justice. She joins us now from her home in The Hague. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
So what took place when the defense mounted its campaign as the trial reopened last week?
Well, Mr. Milosevic was allowed to give his opening statement for about 5.5 hours. Characteristically, the majority of that was spent on his own political case and not on a defense to the charges, the very serious charges that had been brought against him. The court then went into a special hearing that they had advised everybody to be prepared for to talk about the medical reports that they had gotten and the assignment of counsel. The medical reports were from both his treating physician here in The Hague and a special doctor who was appointed by the court to review his medical condition. And the conclusion of both of those doctors was that he is not fit to continue representing himself as he has been doing.
And does he have the right to defend himself?
He has a qualified right to defend himself, and that's true in most jurisdictions. So that it really the essential right is the right to a fair trial. And the court needs to guarantee that as well as guarantee the integrity of the process. So when the integrity of the process or his right to a fair trial is jeopardized, then the court certainly has the authority to impose counsel or to appoint counsel.
Mm-hmm. So over the objections of the defendant, the defense began calling witnesses today. Stephen Kay, a British lawyer, represented Slobodan Milosevic. How did the defendant react when his lawyer started to question his witness?
Well, he protested, of course, before his lawyer began questioning the witness, again protesting that the court was violating his right to represent himself. The court told him that issue was closed, that he had the right to appeal that. He had suggested last week that he might appeal that, and the court had asked Mr. Kay to assist him in that process if he wants to do it. However, the court was adamant that the trial will continue. They have urged him to consult with Mr. Kay. Mr. Kay reported to the court that he has so far refused to do that. Though Mr. Kay has been in court for 2.5 years himself, he's watched the proceedings and he's participated as friend of the court for that time. So he knows full well what the issues are, and he's able, without detailed instruction from Mr. Milosevic, he's able to mount a legitimate defense.
Mm-hmm. So now, with this first witness, do we get an idea of what the defense is going to be?
Well, the first witness started out basically with saying that Mr. Milosevic really wasn't the power broker in the Balkans that the prosecution has made him out to be. He was a persuader. He was someone who was always interested in a peaceful solution. His first preference, indeed, she said it was an obsession, was that the former Yugoslavia be preserved as an entity. So it was sort of in that flavor, kind of setting the ground or trying to shake some of the prosecution's case in establishing in what they did was to show that he was, in fact, the mover and shaker in the Balkans. So that's what this first witness has kind of gone after.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at this point, they have allotted, as I understand it, something like 150 court days for Mr. Milosevic's defense. That puts this trial, assuming he has no more medical problems, well into 2005.
Well, yes, it does. The court wants to see the defense case completed by October of 2005, and then at that point the prosecution would have a chance for some rebuttal witnesses. But if everything stays on track and the court seems determined to assure that it does stay on track, the trial should be completed by the end of 2005.
Judith Armada, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Judith Armada, a lawyer, a liaison to The Hague for the Coalition for International Justice, joined us from her home in The Hague. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We wondered how the trial of Slobodan Milosevic was playing out in Yugoslavia. Dejan Anastasievich joins us now, a journalist for Vremyi, a news weekly in Serbia-Montenegro, and a freelance correspondent for Time magazine 2 years ago. He testified against Slobodan Milosevic at The Hague. He joins us now from his home in Belgrade. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So is everybody there glued to their television sets to watch the trial?
No, I'm afraid not. First of all, the trial broadcasts are during the working hours, so most people have better things to do than sit at home or at the office and watch television all day long. The other thing is this trial is very, very long. It started 2 years ago. It may as well last for another 2 years. And very often it's not very dramatic at all. And in television, if you don't have drama, people start surfing immediately.
as the purpose of a war crimes trial is at least in part to explain what crimes were committed and to ask the people of the country in whose name they were committed to begin to take account of all these crimes. Are Serbs learning lessons from this trial?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, really. It takes much more time and also much more effort to deal with the terrible things that have been done during the Yugoslav wars. One trial cannot lead to that. Most people at this stage, at least, want to put it all away and behind them and pretend it never happened and just move on.
Milosevic himself, and I'm afraid we just have a few seconds left, has painted a picture of, Serbs as in some ways, the victims of these wars.
Well, Serbs have, in many cases, been victims of this war. Other nations around Serbia and other ethnic groups had more victims, but Serbs did also suffer. However, this is a fact, but it cannot justify the things that Milosevic has done.
Okay, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dejan Anastasievic is a journalist for Vremyi, a newsweekly in Serbia-Montenegro, also a freelance correspondent for Time magazine. He joined us from his home in Belgrade. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.